Well, today is the third Sunday of the season of Advent, which we marked by lighting the third candle in the Advent wreath. And the 4 weeks of Advent, they mark what is, as I've said, the beginning of the Christian year. And I find Advent, as you probably do, a bit odd, because in this particular season, we are called to prepare ourselves for the birth of a child, a birth that took place 20 centuries back. I mean, sometimes Advent seems like a month-long baby shower for our great-great-grandparent. We commonly describe Christmas as being the celebration of the birth of a child, of Jesus. But it is indeed much more than that. Christmas is the celebration that God did something remarkable, something completely without precedent, something that changed our world. Very simply, God came to us. Since the time of creation, there's been no doubt that our God loves us. The scriptures witness to this over and over. But also, from the beginning, there's been that ongoing problem of people sinning and turning away from this loving God. And for some reason, God forgives repeatedly. However, in order to break what seems like this never-ending cycle of sin and restoration, God intervened directly this time. And came to us, not as God, but in human form, as a man from Nazareth named Jesus. We know the Jesus story. Jesus is the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Holy One of God. In fact, Jesus is God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. And as I said, Advent is weird because we spend it preparing for a birth that's already taken place. And each year we act as if the approaching Christmas is the very first one ever, which is really not a bad thing to do because we should always approach it with excitement, not with, oh, it's the same old thing. Christmas is a time to celebrate the miraculous event that God loves us. And Advent is the time for us to prepare ourselves, not for the fact that God is coming into the world, but that God is already in this world with us. Advent is the time to prepare ourselves to stand face to face with our Lord. Now, this season is just one more on a calendar that's already pretty crowded with special times and days. I mean, we've got Valentine's Day, Labor Day, Mother's Day, Independence Day, and many more. A lesser-known day I looked up would be the National Bill of Rights Day, which takes place this Thursday. So on Thursday, set aside some time. This was designated by Franklin Roosevelt in 1941 as a day, of course, to celebrate the 10 amendments to our Constitution. So Thursday, wake up and wish somebody happy National Bill of Rights Day. They'll think you're crazy. But if you're a librarian, I simply don't need to remind you that yesterday, December 10th, is the Dewey Decimal System Day. Yes, you marked that on your calendars, didn't you? It's in honor of the birth of Melville Dewey in 1851, and many people credit him with inventing that book classification system that we use in our libraries today. But that's not really correct. What he created was the little white stickers that go on book spines where we write numbers. No, I made that up. He did the system. But we also have our month-long observances. November was Lung Cancer Awareness Month, a very important time. February is Black History Month. My birthday's in July, which makes me proud to celebrate National Ice Cream Month. Yay! We have these special times and days and months to remind us of the things that we find important. And Advent is one of those times. It's a time of preparation for the celebration of God coming into our world, and there is nothing more important than that. Advent is one point on our calendar that really reminds us of what we should be doing every day of the year. We don't just prepare during December. We should prepare for God every day. So how do we do this? How do we prepare? Well, we do it through prayer and study, through the disciplines of giving and serving others, and we use our tools, such as our Advent candles and our Advent calendars. Advent's a little like training for a marathon that is always exactly 1 year away. And during Advent, we also dig into the scriptures, the accounts of Jesus' birth and his life and even his death. We also look at the words of the Old Testament, because as Jesus explained to us, he is the fulfillment of that scripture. And in the Old Testament, we find the promises of God for the salvation of his people. And this year, for example, for Advent, we are looking at four prophecies from the book of Isaiah. And so far, what we've seen is how Isaiah compares the world that we live in with the world of God's reign. And he holds that out there for us so that we might see something that is better than where we are, something that we might aspire to. Our reading for today offers us another of these prophecies of God's reign. Now, unlike the previous 2 weeks, the occasion for this reading is been lost to us in time. It's unknown. In the previous two passages, Isaiah was addressing the impending invasion of Judah by the Assyrian army. But we can't put a time or a place or occasion on today's reading here in chapter 35. But nonetheless, it is a beautiful and powerful passage that reveals God's power to bring salvation into our world. This passage is set in the wilderness. And it's not a wooded wilderness, but a desert wilderness. And as you know, the wilderness was a powerful image for the Jewish people. Wilderness represented their escape from Egypt. It represented also their isolation, but their journey with God. You remember, they were led by Moses, and they headed out into the desert, and they nearly died there. But God stayed with them, providing them food and water. It was there in the wilderness that God gave the people the law. But the journey through the wilderness ended for them with salvation in their promised land. The wilderness that they went through, the wilderness of our lives, is a harsh, unforgiving environment. It is possible to live there, but just barely. It's a place you want to move on from. In the wilderness, one exists at the very edges. And it was no coincidence that Jesus was tested by the devil there in the wilderness. So here in Isaiah, in our reading for today, the prophet reveals that God's kingdom, in God's kingdom, we find the wilderness of our lives. And this wilderness will be transformed. And no longer will our existence be hot and dry and lifeless. Because with God, our desert will bloom abundantly. The desert shall become, well, like the land of Lebanon. Always like reading that. Lebanon, of course, was renowned for its great forests and its flowing streams and its beautiful scenery. Those who are spiritually dry, those who are spiritually dead, they are the ones who will witness the glory and majesty of God. For in God, they will discover abundant life. They shall become like a desert, teeming with new flowers. Isaiah also talks about people with physical infirmities, but this is poetry here, so this includes spiritual infirmities as well. Those with weak hands, hands will be strengthened. Those with feeble knees will be made steady. The eyes of the blind will be opened. The ears of the deaf will be unstopped. They will be able to once again hear the word of God. The lame shall leap like deer, and the tongue of the speechless shall sing for joy, singing the words of God's promise. And then there are those words which are directed at the people whose hearts are just paralyzed with fear. Be strong, they say. Do not fear. Here indeed is your God. He will come with vengeance and with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. What I like about this is that this version of God is powerful. Honestly, this God is more powerful than anything that we should find frightening. God will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. God will deliver salvation. God will bring great joy into the lives of God's people. And lastly, Isaiah offers not only a promise, but a plan. How do we get from here to there, from this present reality to God's holy kingdom? Well, we do it the same way that we get anywhere. We take a road. But now, God provides a special road, a holy highway that leads straight through the wilderness. This road is for God's people. It is safe, it is straight, and once you are on this road, you will not get lost. And on this wonderful highway, those who have gone astray, those who have been kidnapped by sin, they will be able to return to God's holy mountain. They will be home. As Isaiah writes, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is indeed the joy of this Christmas that we celebrate, that God calls us back to Him. God invites us back to Him. God provides us a way to come back to Him. So in this season of Advent, let us prepare. Amen.